true? How do you get those to be reconciled? And that's what we're talking about. And so there are times that people will magnify grace, and that's all that they talk about. They'll talk about the woman that's caught in adultery, right? And you'll hear songs about it, and you'll hear sermons about it, and you hear people talk about it when they're in arguments, and it's always about how the Lord had grace with that woman that was caught in adultery. And that's true, 100% true. So it's not either or. It's, man, I stand here today and I am thankful for the grace of God, thankful for the fact that I got saved, thankful that He's merciful to me, even in my walk with the Lord, that He doesn't just downright kill me for the sins that I do. I am thankful for that. Now with that, He told that woman after He saw her, He said, go sin no more. And what happens is nobody talks about not sinning. Our job is to try to keep from sinning. And He gave us the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so we have major sins, right, that we look at things and we realize these are the bad sins. And so if I'm good on these bad sins, like, if I'm not a drug dealer, or if I'm not out on drugs, or if I'm not at the bar last night, or if I'm not committing adultery and fornication, and all those things are bad. But we got to be able to be more mature than that as a people to be able to listen to other things that we might be doing wrong. And what I want is when I preach, is I want, or when somebody preaches and I listen to preaching, I just want some feedback. I just want some feedback. God gave us a book. My job is to get in line with that book. A preacher's job is to shed light on the stuff and let he's going to preach. And the Lord's going to take that preaching and He's going to shed light onto what's wrong in my life, right? And so what I want to look at here, what we're dealing with in Philippians chapter 2, is we are dealing with behaviors. And as a Christian, if you're sitting here today and you're saved, you're a Christian, right? And you're supposed to be trying to do right. You're supposed to try to not gossip, right? You're supposed to try to not lose your temper, right? You're trying not to slander people. You're trying to do things right. You're trying to collect your thoughts. Keep your mind right. You're supposed to try to pray. You're supposed to try to hand out gospel tracts. I mean, there are things that we're supposed to do. There's things that we are not supposed to do. And it is hard. And the only way that you are going to do right is by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it. You're going to be able to do that. You may be able to use some willpower, and you may be able to handle it for a little bit, but when it gets tight and you're in the wrong mood, it's going to come out. That's the way it works. And so what you have to do is you have to go by the power of the Holy Spirit. It does not, no matter, you can't have a church and you can't sit down and say, here's the standards of our church, and then have some police that watch everybody. Take a measuring tape and, well, how long is this lady's dress? Or is this too tight? Or is it like this right here? You're never going to hear that type of preaching from this pulpit, ever. You're never going to hear that. You say, why? Because you've got to walk with the Lord. If we give you standards, then you're doing it for somebody else besides the Lord. And if you're doing it for somebody else besides the Lord, you're not going to stick to it if it's not your idea and it's not something that you want to do. But if you're trying to please the Lord, if you're trying to please God, if you're trying to please God with your behavior at work, and you're looking at your behavior at work, and you sit down and you say, man, I just want to please God with how I act today. That's so much better than trying to put down a list of standards or a list of rules. You cannot legislate that type of stuff. You can't, the world, I don't care how many gun laws you make, it don't matter. People that want to shoot somebody are going to break gun laws. It's wrong to murder to start with, right? So they done broke that law to start with, regardless of what they used to do it. And making more gun laws is not, you can't legislate morality. Morality is taught. It is, you take a kid and you teach that kid and you teach that kid to fear the Lord. You teach that kid, and once they get it in their own mind and their own heart, when they get old enough to do right, and if you've taught that and you've instilled that in them, then what's going to happen? If you've trained a child in the way it should go, if you've trained them and you've taught them that stuff and they have developed that desire to serve God on their own, then that relationship between them and the Lord is what's going to keep them doing right. It's not some law somewhere, something or some standard that a Christian, that a church has got down. I've heard preachers give illustrations, and heard a preacher one time giving an illustration. He was talking about Yeah, I was in Walmart the other day, and I seen Mrs. So-and-so, and she was in there, and she was in pants, and I felt like I seen her trying to dodge around the corner and me not see her, and I felt like getting on the intercom and saying, "Miss So-and-so, I see you." And I'm sitting here thinking, what? What? She's trying to avoid you, and you feel like you're supposed to be watching her, and what kind of stuff is that? You say, what is that? What that is that's bondage. That is bondage. You're not going to hear that type of stuff. Here's what we're going to encourage you to do, is we're going to preach the Word of God. We're going to tell you what's right. We're going to tell you what's wrong. And it's not personal. It's not anybody trying to get after anybody. What it is this is what God wants. And as a Christian, that's what our desire should be. And hopefully, whatever goes on, then God, the Holy Spirit, sheds light on you in your mind and says, you need to fix this, and you need to fix this, and you're hateful. And you're mean, or you're gossiping all the time, and you love to hear gossip, or you slander things, or you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, or whatever that stuff is. And the Lord gets a hold of you with that stuff right there. And then what our job to do as Christians is to start trying to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and try to live our lives the best we can to be that type of person. And to use these examples here of these Christians, or the Christians, of these characters here in the Bible in the Old Testament, and say, listen, here's the way this lady lived. Here's the way this lady lived. Sometimes we act like Abigail. Sometimes you act like Jezebel, right? And that's what we're looking at. And so what we want to do, we want to try to get our lives wrapped around the right way, okay? And so I'm going to deal with some stuff here in the Bible on into this lesson. And so I want to go through some stuff here just to get it started. There's a term in the Bible that talks about the sons of Belial or the daughters of Belial. And it's in the Bible a lot. And you can get a lot of insight from what's right and from what's wrong if you'll run some references to that right there, because it's a bad connotation, all right? When it comes up, you're the sons of Belial, that's not a good thing. Or Hannah got mad because she was considered a daughter of Belial, all right? So what do you do? So here's what we want to do. We're going to consider God, the Holy Spirit that moved men to write this book, that they're right. They're right about everything. They're right about everything. Whether we like it, whether we don't, whether we believe it, whether we don't believe it, this is what's right. This is the Word of God. And we're going to go through here, and we're just going to look at some of the things that go on, these characters and their behaviors. And hopefully what we can get then is to look at our behavior in our life and say, you know what? I want to be an Abigail. Even as a man, there are some traits that Abigail has that you want to look at and you want to be like, man, I want to be like Abigail. And there's some traits that Jezebel has that you want to look at and say, man, I don't want to be like that right there. And I'm like that right here, and I've been like that right there, and I've been like this right here. And hopefully as your life goes on and as you grow in the Lord, there are some things that you had wrong with you early on that are beginning to get out of your life, and you can look at it and you go, you know what, man, I've gotten better on this thing right here. I've saw it. I've caught it. The Lord, the Holy Spirit's convicted me. I've stopped it right there, and I've got down, and I've confessed that sin, and you've gotten better, and you grow in the Lord in that aspect. So let's look at some of these things. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And again, this is dealing with behaviors, right? So I just want to look at some of these things about the sons of Belial. And first thing that you see here in Deuteronomy chapter 13, it says this. He's telling them, he's giving them some examples of how to live and what you might face and that type of stuff. So in verse 13, Deuteronomy 13, verse 13, it says this. Certain men, the children of Belial. So here's what is going on. So if you see these type of people, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. So the first characteristic, what you see right there, is what? Is a son of Belial, or the children of Belial, is going to try to get you to do what? Quit serving the Lord. Just thinking about the dress code a while ago, about having a dress code, what God says is for a woman should dress modestly, right? All right, so she's sitting there and she's living her life and she's trying to dress modestly. She's not telling anybody else what to do. She's got this thing on her own. She's trying to live right. Well, all of a sudden, you start getting these other people that start saying what? You ain't got to worry about dressing like that. Nobody will tell you how to dress. There's nothing. You ain't got to worry about what you wear, what you don't wear. You're your own person. You're this. That's what a child of Belial does. See, what a son of God are going to do, or what a daughter of the Lord is going to do, right? Speaking there loosely, is this. Is that they're going to try to serve the Lord. And she's trying to serve the Lord, and she's not judging anybody else. She says, I'm just going to live like this right here. And she's living that way. Well, then when somebody tries to keep her from doing that, tries to get her from serving God and trying to say, look, you shouldn't act like that. I'm not saying they're trying to tell her how to act. They're telling her how not to act. They're saying you shouldn't. Don't worry about those convictions you got. Where are you getting those convictions you got? Nobody will tell you how to dress. Nobody. And there is nobody telling you how to dress. You know what happened? She said, she read the Bible. It said, dress modestly. She said, you know what? I'm going to try to dress modestly. And then what happened is other people got mad at her. You say, what is that? That's a behavior of the children of Belial. Look at, go to Judges chapter 19. Judges chapter 19. And this is just running references, guys. Just running references. Judges chapter 19. So what's going on right here is this guy's traveling. And he goes into this man's house. And what happens is there's some homosexuals in the town. And they come up there to in verse 22. And this is what it says. It says, now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may know him. You say, what is that? That's homosexuality. It's considered a son of Belial. That's what it's considered. Look at verse 24. Behold, so verse 23, he says, and the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly. So he's calling it wickedness, right? He's calling it wickedness. Do not so wickedly. And then he says, seeing that this man is come into mine house, do not this folly. Behold, here's my daughter, a maiden, and is his concubine. Them will I bring out now, and humble ye them. So that's not even a good, that's not a good option either. That's not right. We're not saying do that either. Both of them's wrong. But the point is here, what we're trying to do is connect this with the sons of Belial. So what he says, humble ye them and do with them what seemeth good unto you, but unto this man do not so vile a thing. So homosexuality is called wickedness, it's called vileness, it's called, and there's all types of things there in the Bible. And listen, guys, this is just one of those situations that it's hard. I'm not trying to jump on people. I'm not talking about them personally. All I'm telling you is, you read the Bible. The sin of sodomy, the sin of homosexuality is wrong. It's wrong in the Bible. And it's connected to the son of Belial. Look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So Hannah is praying. And when she's praying, she's in there praying. And while she's praying, she's not got no words out. She's just talking, her mouth's moving, but nothing's coming out. She's just praying to the Lord on herself. And Eli, the priest, who has no discernment, obviously, about anything, if you read the book of 1 Samuel, he comes in there. Look at verse 13, or verse 12. It says, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. So Eli thinks she's drunk. Verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And look what she says in verse 16 after being called a drunk. Verse 16, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So what's she doing? She's connecting drunkenness to a daughter of Belial. So what is that? It's wrong. It's wrong to drink. Wrong to get drunk. That's wrong. According to the Bible, it's connected to the son of Belial. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible says that Eli's sons were sons of Belial. They're connected to adultery. They're connected to fornication. They're connected to getting people to abhor the offering of God. You see these people these preachers that get up and they ask for big offerings, big offerings, big offerings, big offerings. And then you see them out there with their Lear jets and their their suits and all their, you know, 14 different types of shoes. They got cars. They got money. They got all this stuff, and they're begging money from people that ain't got no money, telling them to sow their seed of faith while these people are getting rich. People that's got a mind, look at those people, and you know what they do? They begin to abhor the offering of the Lord. And you know what happens? You know what begins to happen is you hear people say, every time a preacher gets up, he's going to ask for money, whether he does or whether he don't. You say, where does that attitude come from? It comes from preachers that cause people to abhor the offering of the Lord. And then as a preacher, when you begin to talk about money, you've got to lay out this disclaimer and this disclaimer and this disclaimer. You say, why? Because you feel like you have to lay this thing out here. You know what that is? That's a child of Belial. They said, the Bible says they were sons of Belial. And they were committing adultery there at the temple, and they were committing fornication. They were having these women come in. They're doing these. It was a mess. It was something you see on pornography sites. They had it going on. What's that connected to? He said they were sons of Belial. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12 through there. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll look at this. Will be the last one we'll look at. There's a lot more. We'll look at this one and one more reference before we get to what I'm trying to get to. 1 Samuel 30. So what happens is they're going back. So David gets in this battle at Ziklag, realizes that all of his family's gone, all of his men, their families are gone, the city's been down, all the people have been taken off. So these 600 men, they take off, and they go after the bad guys. They're going to get them, right? And they're going to bring everything back, but they're chasing all these guys, and they're trying to fix all this stuff. And what happens is some of them gets tired. I mean, they've been battling for days. They've been battling for days. They've been working. They've been in the work. They've been in the fight. They've shown their mettle over and over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, at the end of this thing, man, they just can't go no more, and they're tired. David knows they're tired. He tells them, says, you stay here, and we're going to go fight. And they go fight. And when they come back and they've got all the spoil that they just took, here's what it says. It says, verse 21, the Bible says, and David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. So the guys that went and fought and David are on the way back. These guys that were tired are excited. They love those guys. They run out there to meet these guys. They're all excited about seeing what they did. In verse 22, the Bible says, then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall be his part that teareth by the stuff, they shall part alike. And so what those guys are doing is you got some guys there that's full of themselves. Number one, they think they did this battle. They think that David, you see, David's giving the glory to God. These guys are sitting here acting like, man, we're the real deal. These guys didn't do nothing. They're a bunch of bums. These guys have been fighting with them for years, and they get tired. You know what that is? That's being unreasonable. Christians can get unreasonable. And when we get unreasonable like that, and we look at somebody that's done something, and they've worked, and they've worked in the church, and they've lived for the Lord, and they've done what they can do, and one day they can't go do something, oh, he can't ever get that guy to do anything. What? You fought right beside this guy. You went street preaching with this guy. You went on visitation with this guy. You've done all the things that you're supposed to do, he's been right there with you. One day he can't go, and now all of a sudden he's a bum. So what is that? That is where we get thinking, we're the children of Belial. That's connection. You say, what is that? Those, all the things that I'm showing you are bad behaviors. Those are things in our life where we ought to say, as much as we want to say, look, I am not going to be a drunk. I am not going to be an adulterer. I am not. These other behaviors, we should have that same attitude. Look at go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's no matter what you do for the Lord, there's an opportunity for us to get to the point to where we think we're doing something that somebody else ain't doing. And when we we do that and we get in the flesh, we begin to build ourselves up like we're doing everything and like we're doing something. And that's, we have to fight that. We have to look. Those are ways I have, and I told you last week, I am pulling from experiences from all over the, you know, all over the United States, places I've been, people I've met, Bible school, those types of things. I've seen people that get like that, and when they get like that, the next thing is they're gonna form their little party. And it's going to be, we're the only ones doing right. And then they're going to be in their little group of people. And nobody else can get in their little group of people. And it's going to get to where all they're doing is to the point to where they're bragging about they're the only ones that's doing anything for the Lord. That's the way it works. And it does that with anything. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" So you see there in verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial? So all those behaviors of Belial, we all have that opportunity that we can do that. We can get mad at another church member. And we can look at them wrong. Because why? Because that's our flesh. And the only way to fix it, it's for God to come in and shed light on things. And here, you know, we're supposed to esteem others better than ourselves. I just don't know who he thinks he is. Well, you're supposed to say he's better than you. Well, I can preach as good as that guy can. Well, it shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. You say, well, I think, man, I do preach better than him. That's still a wrong attitude. Esteem others better than yourself. You say, well, how do you do that? You get in the book and you confess your sin. Lord, I've got a bad thought. I think I'm a better preacher than this guy, Lord. Lord, you've given me this, and you've given me this gift, and you've done this for me, God. I do not want to mess this up. I do not want to act like... God, I'd rather not even preach around anybody as to have this attitude that you have. That's where we're going to get to in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so when we get to that, attitude of, God, I just want to please you, then you're somewhere. That's where you're at. God, I don't care what so-and-so's doing. I don't care what they said about me. I don't care what they think about me. God, I just want to please you. I just want to please you. I just want to do right. I just want to do right. And when you get there, that's cutting the legs out from under Satan. You're cutting his legs out from under you. You're cutting away that opportunity. He ain't going to quit. Satan is relentless. He will not leave you alone. But if you get to that point to where all you're trying to do is please the Lord and you don't care about yourself, man, there's where that's high cotton right there, all right? That's where you need to be. All right. Now, when it comes to these two ladies here that I was talking about and what they are, the reason I went through this stuff about Belial is that Abigail is married to one that's called the son of Belial. All right? And so you can see Abigail's attitude toward that is she thinks it's wrong. And she, when she mentions that he's the son of Belial to David, she's doing it in the context of, look, he's a mess. Just like you would if you had a lady and she had a drunkard for a husband and he's out there and he's in the street and he's smarting off to somebody and the lady goes up, listen, he's drunk. Just leave him alone. I'm sorry. That's what Abigail was trying to do. She'd been an intercessor. And she was sitting there and she's trying to take care of her husband because that's her job as a wife. But what she's doing is she's saying, this is wrong. What he's at. That was her attitude. And the other side is Jezebel. Jezebel's husband wanted a vineyard from Naboth. And so what Jezebel did, she hired some sons of Belial. So she didn't have no problem with having a concord with the children of Belial. None at all. And you know what she did? She got some people that were liars. And she got them to go in there and testify against Naboth and say he blasphemed God. And then they killed Naboth. And so you see that there's a spot there. What are you saying, Jack? What I'm saying is this, is that there are some times that we are against being a son of Belial. And there are some times when we're in the flesh and we're frustrated that we embrace it. I know I ain't supposed to get mad, but no, stop. You ain't supposed to get mad. I know I ain't supposed to talk about nobody, but nope, stop. You ain't supposed to talk about nobody, right? Right? And we know it. We know it. And that's why we throw a disclaimer out before we get ready to do it. Oh, no, I ain't supposed to think a thought like that. Stop. No, you ain't. You ain't. Well, I know I'm not supposed to act like... No, you're not supposed to act like that. You know it. You're putting your own indictment on yourself. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I'm going to do it, right? And what we got to do is we got to catch ourselves. Jezebel, you know what she said? She knew that those guys were wrong. She was looking for that type of person. She had an outcome she was trying to get. And because to get that outcome, she was looking for some people that she could count on to do wrong. And it didn't bother her a bit to get around those people. And we can do that at work. We can be at work and we can hear somebody talking about somebody. And we know that person. And we know that person would never do something like that. But yet we'll let that person talk and we'll let them affect us. And then we'll repeat what they said without even knowing it. Now maybe we didn't kill somebody like Jezebel did, but we might have ruined somebody's testimony. Have you ever just said, well, I reckon so-and-so, well, yeah, I heard he's cheating on her. You heard that, so you're going to say it? I heard that, so I'm going to say it? Is that right? Tearing up somebody else's character without even knowing what type of person that is? Man, it gets so flippant with it. And what I was saying at the start of the service was that people don't look at sin like they used to look at sin. You're going to get it in Bible-believing churches. We're going to get it here. But man, God, you know what God wants us to do? He wants us to please Him. There are siblings that get mad at siblings. And you know what they do? They degrade them. They lie on them. They act like they've been doing something that they ain't been doing. They frame words of deceit to get you to think something that they've not got. And you know what? Everybody sitting here and standing up here today, we've all got that in us. We all have that ability. And if we're not right with God and we don't get that humility and that humble attitude, you know what we'll do? We'll evil surmise. We'll be like Eliab. I know the naughtiness of thine heart. I don't know nobody's heart sitting here. I don't know what you do. I don't know why you do what you do. You don't know why I do what I do. And we don't, but yet for some reason we think we do. And every time we're wrong, we don't think nothing about it. And we destroy people's character. We destroy people's testimonies. And we go on and act like it's no big deal. You say, what is that? That's the wrong behavior. That's what Jezebel had. She's willing to destroy somebody and didn't care. Do you know what they've done to me? Well, the Bible says if somebody's done something to you, you take it patiently. Man, that's hard. You get on Facebook and you see all the stuff. So-and-so, I went down to the store yesterday, and there was so-and-so was in there, and I'm not going to mention no names, but you can tell by the time they get done who it is. And they said this, and they said this, and I thought he was a preacher. I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was supposed to be somebody. You know what? They said this, and they... And then what happens is somebody shares it. Are you sharing things that you shouldn't share? The Bible says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And we get to the point because we're not being called on it that we don't think it's a big deal. Wednesdays it's going to be a big deal. And it's up to each individual to do what? To make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing to control ourselves, right? So one thing you find out about Abigail, look at 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel 25. What you find out about Jezebel is she has no morals, she has no conviction, she doesn't care to lie and get what she wants. And I'm going to tell you guys, it's hard, especially when you start having kids, you start having grandkids. I gave you that story last week about my mom getting mad because I didn't get to play in basketball game. Instead of just saying, looking at me and saying, Jack, you don't ever practice. You don't ever practice. You watch a whole lot of basketball on TV, but you never go out and practice. And we got you a basketball, go out there, and you won't go out there. And you don't try to work out with weights. You don't try to get faster. You don't try to figure out what the plays are. I wouldn't play you either. You know what we do? We lie about other kids. Well, that kid right there. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, the only reason they get to play is because of their name? You ever heard that? You ever heard that in the stands? The only reason they score is because they shoot all the time. What? You know why? Because we're doing just like Jezebel. We're lying about somebody else's kid, somebody else's grandkid. Why? because I feel like my kid ought to be getting some glory and some honor too. I was at a softball game one time, and I was watching softball, and I had a kid that was playing, and I had a kid that wasn't playing. And when I'm sitting there listening, I'm sitting there, and we're in the stands, and I hear this man, he comes up, he goes, "Well, so-and-so going to get to play, their daughter or granddaughter or whatever it was." And they said, "Well, I don't know. They're trying to win the game, you know." And he says, "Well, I just think they all should play. I mean, good night. I mean, we drive all the way up here and then don't even get to watch a kid play. Golly, that's all I could do." "Have you watched your kid play?" "Hey, Grandpa, I get it." You know, and then if it was their kid playing, it is, "Well, I don't think everybody should play. I think the ones that's good ought to get out there and play, and they ought to be trying to win this." I heard a guy one time say, this stuff, man, this stuff. I heard a guy one time say, "The only reason he gets to play is because he's coach's son." And it could have been, I don't know. But I asked him, I said, "Well, who would you get to play?" Guess who they suggested? Their kid. "Well, my kid, I'll be honest with you." So what is that? That is trying to degrade other people and look down at other people to build yourself up. What is that? That's a spirit of Jezebel. Do you know what Abigail had? Abigail's sitting here in 1 Samuel 25. Look down at verse 14. So the story, what's going on right here, is David's been running from Saul, and he's out in the woods. This guy named Nabal has a bunch of sheep out there. He's got cattle out there. David's been taking care of this. They ain't lost nothing. They've took care of all the animals that's out there, and he kept everything safe. He wouldn't let his men go steal any food. "No, don't go steal their cow and come down here and cook it for supper. We're not doing that. We're going to take care of this man. It's his stuff. That's the wrong thing to do." Well, David was wanting some food from him. And Nabal ends up saying, basically sending him back, saying, "Who is David? I don't know who this guy is. I ain't giving this guy no food." Well, David gets mad. He's come down there to kill him after he said that. Well, and down in verse 14, one of the young men go to Abigail. Look what it says, verse 14. The Bible says, "But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep.'" Now, so this guy goes to Abigail. Now, why does he go to Abigail? Why does he go to Abigail for? Number one, he can't go to Nabal, because the Bible says, "His son of Belial, you can't even speak to that guy." You ever had people that you can't even talk to? I remember my kids growing up, and I got fixed one day on this, because one of my kids came up to me and they said this. They said, "Dad, I want to tell you something." And they said, "Let me say everything I got to say first. And then if it's right or wrong or whatever, just don't interrupt me and tell me no. Just let me get out what I want to say." Man, the Lord stabbed me with that right there. I thought, they're having to give a disclaimer to me. Because why? Because I won't listen. I won't listen. You ever talk to people and they just don't listen to you? And they're interrupting you all the time. And you can't even get a word in edgewise. I was in the Army. I ain't got time for all that. There's a guy there. I just don't enjoy being around people like that. Just don't enjoy being around people like that. And then what happens is you can't even get a story out. They start, "Yeah, and one time, blah, 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 blah." It's just like, you know, I'm sitting here and my kids tell me this story, and then I'm reading this about old Nabal here, and I'm like, man. You say, "What do you do?" I've learned to try to get better. And I think I've gotten better over the years. I'm probably still quick to judge a conversation, but I really try to listen. You say, why? Because that's the behavior you want. You don't want to be a son of Belial like Nabal was. But anyway, that's why they went to Abigail. Why? Because Abigail was friendly. She's friendly. She was approachable. Are you approachable? Can people come up to you and talk to you about things? Can people come up and say, "Hey, listen, I need to talk to you about something"? You know what, Abigail? There are people that's in church that they just, you can't go talk to them about anything. And not in this church. No, I'm just a lie. In the body of Christ, that they have a tore up look on their face. They're always mad. They're always frustrated. And then sometimes they're nice, and you're like, "Man, let's go talk to so and so because she's in a good mood." But wouldn't you hate to have that said about you? Yeah. that the only time they can talk to you is because you're in a good mood? Or, hey, let's go talk to Dad. I think he's in a good mood today. That's the only time. See, what you want to be like Abigail. Abigail was approachable. This young son, this young man right here, he realized we ain't getting nowhere with Nabal. But you know what? Abigail's friendly. Abigail's going to listen to me. Abigail's going to listen to what type of situation is going on right here, and she's going to be able to handle this. She ain't going to go to Nabal and say, he came and told me and done this right here. What you realize is Abigail has a whole lot of discernment in her life. She's got a whole lot of discernment. Look down at verse 19. It says, and she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. Now, I'm not telling you not to tell your husband about things, ladies. But she goes on to tell him what happened. But she realized that this moment right here is not a good time to talk to her husband. Look down at verse 36. 1 Samuel 25:36, the Bible says, and Abigail came to Nabal. So this is after she talks to David. She intercedes. She takes David some food. She's an intercessor there. She's a type of Jesus Christ right there. David's a type of God the Father. She's a type of the intercessor for Nabal. Then later on, David's a type of Christ, and she's a type of the bride of Christ. I mean, the story of Abigail, man, is an awesome story. It is. And you want to live, if you want to pattern your life after somebody, man or woman, you look at what Abigail did and how she handled herself. She was an intercessor for people. She was humble. Man, she was submissive. She took it when she needed to take it. She did everything. She had a lot of discernment. Abigail is a great picture of Jesus Christ and a picture of what a church, what a Christian ought to do, right? Verse 36, so look what it says. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, held a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. So she come back and said, look, I went to David and fixed all this stuff for you. But she didn't tell him then either. Why? Because he's drunk. So she's like, ha, I can't tell him this right now. She had discernment in her life. Then it goes on to say, but it came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him and he became as a stone. All right, so what you see there is, so the point that I'm getting to is that sometimes you can be Abigail, sometimes you can be Jezebel. But as a Christian, these are the things, as hard as a lesson this is to put together and to lay out there, guys, it's so hard to go through something like this and realize all the problems that you have yourself. And to lay this out there and you understand, man, this ain't shouting ground. But this is what we need. This is what we want. We want to, first of all, we're going to let this Bible decide what's right and wrong. If the Bible says it's right, it's right. If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. That's just it. And then as a Christian, how can we change our behavior to be like Jesus Christ? That's where we're trying to get to. In Philippians chapter 2, and I want to go through some more of these characters here in the Bible just to go through and show the different characteristics that each one has and how we can be like each one. But then we're going to finish it with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go ahead and take a break.